what you think of country now? Play action, and Zaloni snows on top of Mason Rudolph.
LB's on three, what you think, LB?
Barkley open field, Alex Anzalone brings him down. Big loss on the play.
Alex Anzalone has become the leader of this defensive team. When things get unsettled, he's the one that settles everything down.
All right. Alex Anzalone is no longer a Lion, but he's still our friend.
Yep, he is.
Yes.
We want him back.
And
yes,
friends talk to one another.
We want him back.
Now and then. So, hi, Alex.
How's it going, guys? It's good to talk to friends.
Come back, Alex. Come back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you never know. The life is long and football is weird. So look at all the people who are, look at college basketball. You never know who's on your team, you know. So
it's true.
So how's it been? How's the transition to life in back in Florida again?
Yeah, it's good. That free agency period was pretty nuts and stressful. You know, just, you know, you hear things and you try to, you know, go through the different scenarios, you know, pre-Monday, I forget what date it was. I think it was Monday, March 9th at 12 p.m. A month ago. And you try to go through all the scenarios. You have no clue financially what teams are going to be offering. And, you know, we had to make a decision really quick in like 30, 40 minutes. And, things were numbers were flying around, doing the math on taxes and all that different that stuff.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, taking all that while having three kids in the house, my parents came in town and to help out with them. So yeah, it's just, we have a lot going on. We have, you know, now a 3 month old.
Yeah.
So
congrats.
We're just living life in Florida.
Well, let's go back to that, what you just said, because that's pretty interesting. I think most people never get a chance to hear that sort of side of it. So it's like on your mark, get set, deal. And suddenly you can make phone calls. Is your agent there with you? Is he on the phone? Fielding?
He's fielding calls and doing that from, he's in New York. And he's calling me. Then he's like, hold on, this team's calling. They up their offer, they'll match this offer, and he's relaying all that message, but there's a time crunch because, you know, the teams that are offering, you're their number one guy, they're their number one target, and if they can't get you, they have to move on to their next target.
Right.
There's a time crunch for sure.
Now, how many teams were interested in you?
Teams that had legit offers. One, two, three, four legit offers.
Oh wow.
Four. Yeah. So there were four. Your agent was having to have at least four free phone lines in his office, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because he can't do call waiting, right. You know, because you can't tell the guy, you know, hold on. Yeah. So you got to have multiple lines. You're getting four offers are coming in. Now, were the Lions participants in this chase?
No, they they didn't offer anything actually, so.
They never came to you at one point and said, listen, we know you're going to get, you know, probably more money, but we want you to know we'd like to have you back if you're willing to do it at this price.
And Dan Campbell said he wanted you back, Alex.
But they never did.
No numbers were thrown around.
Wow.
Wow, that's crazy.
So they basically, is it your take that they just assumed that you were leaving?
I think it was more that they knew. From my perspective, I think they knew that they wouldn't be able to, with their constraints financially, they wouldn't be able to even touch it. You know what I mean? Mm.
So did they have, like, or did Dan or Brad have any kind of sort of farewell conversation with you before you signed?
Before I signed? No.
Yeah.
You know, it was all, we'll see what happens. Dan voiced that he wants me back, but obviously he's not the head coach and general manager.
Signed with how long did it take somebody from the Lions to reach out once you signed with Tampa?
That's a loaded question now. Hey, you know, we're getting
why is it
subject.
Loaded?
No, I'm just talking about the Decker situation.
Yeah.
Dan had reached out, like most of my coaches that I'm really close with reached out. Shep. Sean Dion, my linebacker coach, Coach Phipps, especially, you know, just several coaches that I've, you know, had a relationship for
And yeah, Campbell, too?
They reached out. Well, Dan as well.
I'm glad you went to a team that's at least winning. And I know I got to ask you this. And I was always where I said, man, somebody that's lousy, I'm not going to mention the teams, will offer you a bunch of money and you'll be miserable for the next 3 years besides on the Friday when you go to the bank. I know there were some bad teams that probably offered you more money, but did you just decide, if I'm going to go somewhere else, I'm at least going to try to win and be happy even if I have to give up less money?
Yeah, so, yeah, that, you're right. That definitely plays a factor because, you know, I'm at the, you know, back half of my career and, you know, you don't want to be miserable trying to, you know, do what we kind of did in Detroit. And, you know, it could go in a good way like it did in Detroit, but it could go the opposite way. So that definitely was a factor. But the one team that came strong was Chicago. And and that was one.
We
that,
would not
you know,
be having I, this no, phone no, call no, no, right no. now, Alex.
We're not know, even taking Ben Johnson's calls on this show.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Alex, was it a priority for you and your agent to sign with a team that would be playing the Lions in 2026?
No. But it does shake out nicely that way, though.
Well, it seems like the Lions always play Tampa Bay.
I know, right?
Like a division game.
Always, yeah. Atlanta and Tampa Bay. You have to play here all the time for teams that aren't in the division. And that'll happen down the road. But listen, I want to say we had a discussion after that happened. And when I saw how much money you got, I think it was in the neighborhood of $17 million or something like that. I said, why wouldn't somebody take that who's got a young family and all that?
Sure.
You're not going to get offered that from the Lions. How many times is somebody going to offer you that kind of money in your life? You know, might be the biggest contract. I hope you get another one 2 years from now or whatever. But if not, and that's the biggest one, if you're smart, you can live off that money, you know, for many, many years. And so I certainly don't begrudge you. And I haven't really met anybody here in town who did either, especially when they saw the size of the contract and realized the Lions weren't going to come close.
Yeah, it's just like I said, it's all financial. And, you know, some deals out there were a little bit better. But at the same time, it's like, you know, how much do you weigh your happiness? And I've been blessed enough to make, you know, I've just came off of a big deal with the Lions, and you know, I made good money in my career, and I didn't have to make a truly just a financial decision. I was able to, you know, factor in a bunch of other things. If I was early in my career, it would have been different. But yeah. I'm at the point where I'm blessed enough that, you know, like you said, I'm in a good position.
Is this your fourth or third contract?
It's like fourth. I believe.
Most guys don't even get to a fourth contract.
With the I don't know how much you paid attention, but with the movement that went around the league and the needs that the Lions had defensively as well as offensively on the line, were you a little surprised that they weren't more active in free agency?
No, because I guess that kind of adds up to my point is like they said they didn't have a ton of money to deal with, and I guess that's kind of what it seemed like from afar. I didn't really pay super close attention to who they signed, but you know, I think they gave a guard or something decent money.
Nothing
like groundbreaking.
Money. No,
right.
Relatively.
Right. Rather scary.
I think that it kind of adds up. So I wasn't shocked. Yeah.
Do you feel that the Lions, and this is going to be a little bit of a loaded question too, but you're not on the team anymore,
yeah.
So you
Go
should
ahead,
be able to
it,
answer.
Right.
There is a feeling, a growing feeling amongst some of the fan base that the Lions may have missed that proverbial window. They're not going to be a bad team, and I'm sure they're going to win a good amount of games, but that championship opportunity may have come and gone, as it often does for teams, just because you look back at a couple of years when you were, you know, within a whisper of a Super Bowl and then had the best record in football and both times didn't get there, and now you saw what happened last year. Do you think there's any validity to that?
Yeah, I mean, I was a part of that in New Orleans. Is like, you know, obviously Drew Brees had a ton to do with, you know, the Super Bowl window, but my last year in New Orleans, it was in 2020, and we made it to the divisional round and lost to Tom Brady and the Bucks, and you know, they obviously went on to win the Super Bowl. But yeah, there are windows, and that doesn't mean you can't get back into a window. So it's hard to say, really. But yeah, you're right. There definitely are windows. So, like, you can't say there aren't windows. It's just you only can look at, back at it in hindsight. You can't really necessarily say for sure in the future.
Alex, I know you were playing some golf with Hutch and your son, and clearly your son has made the transition to the Buccaneers. Is it the nature of the beast in the NFL when you change teams to stay in touch with the friends you had on the previous team, or do you just move on by and large?
No, you definitely keep in touch. That's really what you miss the most. You miss the locker room, your teammates. You know, you think about it, I was with Derek Barnes and Hutch golfing out here in Tampa. And, you know, it's like how many hours and of game, you know, game day that we experienced together, being out there trying to sacrifice our bodies for each other and, you know, put each other in positions to win and succeed and, you know, help each other out in the weight room, you know, come with me, come train with me. You know, it's just like it goes beyond football. And, you know, the more you get removed, or not removed, but the more wisdom, I guess you'd say, you have in the NFL, the more you realize that it's a player business and you get your fans and friends with the players.
Are there any little moments about Detroit and living here and being a Lion that stay in your memory and you're going to miss the most?
Aside from being on this show.
Yeah, that's
a given.
You don't need to be obvious.
It honestly was great. I feel like this show was awesome because it gave me like a closure on my week, the past week, every Monday.
It was like therapy, you know? Alex.
Yeah. You're the couch that you lie on.
Did we bill him, Mitch, for that?
Yeah, we should. But besides us.
Yeah, no, I think that you just miss, like, realistically, obviously you miss your teammates, but then even further than that, you know, my neighbors, like, we're about to completely sell my house in Detroit. It's under contract and all that. But like my neighbor Steve, our nanny Julianne, like there's so many people that you just get so close with that, you know, that's the hard part moving on and emotional part of moving on. 'Cause we had a life there and we were there for 5 years and my kids grew up. You know, I got an email from Cooper's preschool teacher, because we're still on the email chain from the fall, about the update. And, you know, you think about his preschool teachers, all the principal there that you just get so close with. That's what you miss, and that's what you get emotional about.
Is there any part of it that you're not going to miss? Snow, like, you know, I don't know, snow or weather?
I'm gonna miss the snowy Christmases, but outside of that, it's like after Christmas, you're ready to move on.
Yeah, Alex, I got to ask you, and this is a Lions question you can answer if you want to. The story of last week that Ragnow had to return part of his bonus when he retired and whatever, and that's the third time they've done that, and I thought they were going to quit after the Calvin thing. But do players look at that when they want to stay in Detroit and sign and say, well, you know, that's not the way other teams do it, and I would think twice about coming to Detroit?
I think that it doesn't make you think twice about coming to Detroit. I think it makes you think twice about how you maneuver retirement or ending your career. You know what I mean? I feel like, because that's really all Frank did wrong, was that they got him contractually and he could have taken advantage of the situation a lot more. And, I think that you just, you know, finagle your way to retirement when you're in Detroit.
Finagle your way to retirement. Well, don't we all in some way or another? Just not in our 30s, you know. Comes a little later. Well, it's great to hear your voice. I'm glad you're doing well. We hope you have 16 great games this year and one that just is an off day.
Yeah, take that one off.
Hey, I could still have a great game, and I could still have a great game. And just
well, then everybody else on your team has a lousy game. How about
Alex, this is Rosie. I don't mean to be pushy, but can we still call you on Monday nights? How's your game going Sunday? And how's the family?
Right, you can be my therapist. I just have to get you on salary. That's all.
Listen, if the Lions start losing and Tampa Bay's winning, we may just call you on Mondays and talk to you about it. I mean, I'd rather talk to winning guys anyhow. But you've been a pleasure to get to know, you've been a joy to have on the radio. And
I'm getting thank you, Mitch. Guys.
Stay in touch.
Will do. Thank you guys so much.
Alex Anzalone here on 760 WJR.